Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on this lovely Monday morning. It's a bit cold out there, but it's nice to see a bit of blue sky. Okay, with me this morning, I have my special guest, Chris Dole from Chris Dole Personal Training. Say hello, Chris.
Hi.
It's Chris's first time on radio, and I'm sure it won't be his last.
I'm sure so, yep.
Chris is going to have a chat with me as we go through the show this morning for the next hour or so. And in about half an hour, we're going to interview Chris and find out a bit more about what he does. Okay, so just a bit of quick housekeeping. The purpose of the show is to help to educate you, to inform you and to enlighten you as to ways that you can improve your own health. And during the show, we'll give you some simple tips and advice. Each week, we'll have a special guest in a different field of health and fitness. We'll discuss with them their speciality and what they do. But all content is provided for information only and shouldn't be treated as a substitute for medical advice of your own doctor or any other healthcare professional. If you have any concerns about your general health, you should contact your local healthcare provider. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, the Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. You can also find the show on Facebook as well. If you search Health Radio Show on Facebook, you will find this show page. And please follow the Facebook page and follow us on Twitter for regular updates about the show and also lots of free health tips and advice. So the Twitter handle again is at Health Radio Show. I have my Twitter screen in front of me, so please do say hello. If you want to shout out, please feel free to tweet me. Or if you have any questions as we go through or any comments to make, then please drop me a line at Health Radio Show on Twitter. Okay, so I'm going to cover a couple of points now before we get into things. As you'll remember, last week we discussed ways to de-stress and to relax without the use of alcohol, which I know sadly a lot of people do actually depend on these days. Mm. So we're going to go through a few more in a moment. But I came across a really interesting article about dark chocolate. Now, I'm sure there's lots of you out there that are chocoholics.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, most people like milk chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because one of the reasons milk chocolate is actually so addictive is the mix of sugar and fat.
Indeed, yeah.
It isn't the cocoa.
No, not at all.
And in fact, if you have a teaspoon of cocoa, it's actually quite...
It's very sour.
It's not very nice, bitter. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's been research recently that has shown that dark chocolate can actually help you to concentrate better.
Absolutely, yeah.
It can give your brain like a mid-afternoon boost.
Yes, yeah.
It can help concentration levels.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the thing to consider is the percentage of cocoa in the dark chocolate.
Yes.
Most dark chocolate starts at about 60%, but you can go as high as 85%, I think some are.
You can get 75%, 90%, and it's something I actually do actively encourage my clients to actually have as well, because... Chocolate's actually quite high, depending on the brand of chocolate, it's quite high in antioxidants.
And polyphenols.
Yeah, and polyphenols. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice pick-me-up in the afternoon. It's a little reward for getting through the day, particularly if you have it about 3 o'clock, mid-afternoon, just before you finish your day.
Yep.
So there's loads of actual nice health benefits from the richer, darker chocolates, certainly.
And the great thing is it's not as addictive as milk chocolate.
No, and because it's so rich, you won't want to eat the whole bar.
Yeah, indeed.
You can actually get away with just eating two squares.
And an interesting point as well is if you have dark chocolate, it can help to reduce blood pressure.
Indeed, yeah.
But the caveat to that is if you're trying to lose weight, small portions,
absolutely.
You know, whilst it is arguably healthier for you than milk chocolate,
yes,
it's still high in calories.
Absolutely, yeah. Anything so, tasty is,
yeah,
is
unfortunately,
high in calories.
Yeah. So, just something to bear in mind for those of you out there that like chocolate and perhaps have a addiction for milk chocolate, maybe switch to dark chocolate, try it, see how you get on. If you find it a bit bitter to start with, stick with it, because actually your taste buds do adjust to the taste, and you'll find not only is it less addictive than milk chocolate, but there are actually some health benefits as well.
Yeah,
which is quite interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
So, going on to our next subject, which is ways to relax. Now, I've been doing some research in trying to help people to find ways to relax without alcohol. And we covered 1 to 6 last time, which was reading a good book, doing some gardening, listening to music, practicing yoga, engaging in meditation, and taking up jogging. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cover another 5 or 6 this morning, and then we'll cover some more next week as well. So the next one to consider is swimming every day.
Absolutely.
Swimming is a fantastic exercise. It's good for the mind. It's also good for the cardiovascular system as well. And it does actually burn quite a few calories.
Yeah, and if you are particularly overweight, it's low impact on the joints. And as long as you can bear yourself getting into a swimming costume and going to a swimming pool and, you know, dealing with those self-confidence issues, it's a brilliant way to start with any kind of fitness journey.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 16, 17, I was really into swimming, and I was consistently doing 25, 26 second, 25 meter runs on the pool, doing breaststroke the entire way. And one of the lifeguards came up to me once and said, you do realize you've swum nearly 2 miles in an hour and a half. I was like, have I? Okay, I just swam another mile afterwards. So it was actually really quite nice and relaxing. Wow. And you can lose yourself with swimming, I think.
You can.
Yeah.
You can. It's fantastic. It's and as you say, very, very low impact as well.
Yeah, brilliant for the joints.
Good for the joints, absolutely. Mm. Okay, so swimming, floating, floating on your back, floating on a lilo.
Yep.
Obviously not in the sea, be careful with that. But in a swimming pool, the movement of the waves, actually quite relaxing.
Absolutely.
Very good, again, for the mind, helps you to de-stress.
Yes.
Quite easy to fall asleep on one of those as well.
Yeah, so be careful.
laughing, as I say, laughter is the best medicine, mm-hmm. and it's free as well.
Yeah,
so take some time to actually smile a bit more, laugh a bit more, and giggle a bit more. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yes.
Dancing is very therapeutic. It's also a good way to exercise the mind as well, because you're learning a new skill.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that, generally speaking, you require a lot of focus.
Yes.
So when you're dancing, your mind kind of switches off from all the other things in your life that's going on at that particular moment.
Yeah, being a father, I only do dad dancing, though.
So. I think we're all guilty of that one. Learn and practice controlled breathing exercises. So we covered meditation last time, but just learning to control your breathing and doing conscious breathing.
Mm.
It's one of those things that we do very subconsciously. Of course, we don't think about breathing. But actually,
yeah.
When you start to think about breathing, it does distract your mind, because this thing that's so automatic in us mm-hmm. suddenly becomes very conscious.
Yes.
And if you focus on taking deep breaths in and out, if you take 10, 15 minutes a day, it can be very, very good for the mind. It can be a great de-stressor.
Yeah.
And it can help you to relax as well.
Yeah, this is something I teach within my sessions as well. I train people with a lot of weight training typically. And we usually find that by slowing down their breathing, they get better and more controlled lifts. But also, it helps relax them. They may have like a really heavy session, but it does really relax people at the end of the day. It's quite nice.
It is.
It's quite nice. But when you're taking a nice deep breath in, you're performing a maneuver, and as you're going up, you're exhaling. It's actually slowing down your breathing a lot.
Yeah,
to 1 to 6 seconds, you know, it's really good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So there's a few tips there. So just to go over those again, reading a good book, going out and gardening, listening to music, practicing yoga, engaging in meditation, taking up jogging, swimming, floating in a pool of water, laughing, dancing, and doing controlled breathing. So hopefully there's a few tips in there that I'm sure if you put one or two of those into action, then they will help you to relax. Obviously, if you'd like any more advice, then you can chat to me, you can chat to Chris, you can come through the Twitter page, or you can go to our respective websites, which we'll cover towards the end of the show. And if you need any more advice on those, then give me a shout. Okay, so the time is coming up to 11 minutes past 11. I'm going to take our first song now, which is a classic from the 80s, one of the songs that I grew up with as a child. And I still am very fond of. So here's Tears for Fears and Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. You're listening to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva. And my special guest with me today is Chris Dole from Chris Dole Personal Training.
Hi again.
Remember, you can tweet the show at Health Radio Show on Twitter with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. And you can also find the show on Facebook as well, Health Radio Show. But do tweet in, do say hello. If you want to shout out, it'd be great to get you out there and to have you as you know, being part of the show with us as well. Right, okay, so for the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to talk to you about the subject of sleep. Now, this is quite relevant because, as we know, in the UK, our clocks went back an hour yesterday. Which was great until about 4 o'clock when it started getting dark and you kind of think, oh, here we go. These evenings are going to be drawing in. It's quite nice in the morning because I get up quite early. I get up around between 5 and 6 and it's nice to have a bit more daylight in the morning, but I'm sure that
it doesn't
was,
last. Does
it doesn't last.
It doesn't last at all, no. So
roll on spring, that's all I can say.
Yes.
So I'm going to cover a couple of subjects or a couple of issues surrounding sleep. That I think people will find interesting because sleep's so important. So the first issue is around the 8 hours. So we are told that adults should get around 8 hours sleep and actually children need much more. So newborn babies can sleep up to 18 hours a day.
Mine never did.
Mine did, fortunately.
Good.
I think most new parents wish their babies would sleep 18 hours a day. But so newborn babies, 18 hours. Pre-puberty children, around 11 hours. And teenagers, around 10 hours. Although I would argue that most teenagers, given the choice, would sleep for 24 if they
absolutely.
Had the chance.
I remember back those days, and I would definitely say that, you know, if I got out of bed at 10 o'clock in the morning, that would be a rarity.
And there is some interesting research that said that if you sleep too little or you sleep too much, it can have a massive impact on the risk of you contracting diseases as you get older.
Yeah.
And it can actually shorten your life.
Yeah. I think it's important to really listen to your body. I'm fortunate enough that my working day starts from 5:38 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do 2 or 3 hours worth of training in the morning. I might train myself and then I can go back home. And I listen to my body. If I'm actually feeling tired, I can actually afford to have an hour's worth of sleep early afternoon. Then I'll be back to work from about 5 until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so I may only have 5 hours of sleep during the actual night time, but I make sure that I top it up during the day with just a brief siesta in the afternoon.
Yeah, very important.
Very important.
And the research has shown that poor sleep can lead to poor health, and in turn, poor health can cause poor sleep. So it's quite a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
But you're considered a short sleeper if you sleep less than 6 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and you're considered a long sleeper if you sleep more than 9 hours a day. So the sweet spot seems to be between 6 and 8 hours.
Yeah.
And interestingly, some of the illnesses that people that sleep too little or too long are at risk at are things like diabetes, increases the risk of diabetes because lack of sleep affects the ability to control blood glucose levels.
Yeah, and it also attributes to poor food choices as well.
Poor food choices, mm-hmm. and increased appetite, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, lowered immune function.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Which then has an impact on you know, catching other infections.
Yeah.
But also means that vaccinations don't have quite the same effect as well.
Yeah.
It can lower your mood, it can lower your cognitive function. There are research papers out there that have suggested that there are links with dementia.
Yeah.
And the big one as well, which is a subject quite close to my heart, is obesity.
Yes, of course, it's close to mine as well.
And we touch them on, you know, bad food choices.
Yeah.
But lack of sleep or too much sleep can actually make you eat too much, bizarrely.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, it's a case of really listening to your body. I mean, we've all had occasions where we've gone to bed at 8 o'clock because we've said to our other half, do you know what, I'm really tired, I need to go to sleep. And you've then slept through from 8 o'clock in the morning right through until 8 o'clock, you know, evening to morning, and you've had 12 hours sleep. When you have those sleeps, I've always found, I don't know whether you found this, Neil, as well, but I've always found much tired, you know, really exhausted mm-hmm. after that long sleep. Rather than feeling refreshed, it's quite a weird feeling.
It is, it is. And it is, yeah, you're absolutely spot on. You know, you want to be going to bed and having some sleep and actually waking up refreshed. You know, the worst thing is waking up feeling tired.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, it completely ruins your day.
Yeah.
There are different phases of sleep. So we have a number of different phases. We have the first stage is when we're starting to feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to relax. We're starting to feel a little bit sleepy. Our muscles relax. Our heart rate starts to drop. The second stage of sleep is where we go into a slightly deeper sleep than stage one. Stage three is deep sleep. Deep sleep is the period when actually it's very hard to wake up. And it's actually those times when if you do wake up, you feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's stage three. So then what happens is we go between stage two and stage three. But generally between stage two and stage three, we don't dream.
Mm-hmm.
But then we go from stage three to stage four, which is REM sleep, which is the rapid eye movement sleep, which is called the dream phase.
Yep.
And that's the time when we go into really deep sleep and we start dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we go through those cycles throughout the night. So it's not like we go stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, wake up. We'll go stage one, stage two, stage three, stage two, stage three, stage four, stage three, stage four. And that cycle continues. And believe it or not, we go into REM sleep up to five or six times a night.
Yeah.
And REM sleep is really important sleep. That's where we get the most benefit from being asleep. But interestingly as well is we have the last phase of our REM sleep, which comes back to the 6 to 8 hours sleep. The last phase of that cycle of REM sleep is the one that's the longest.
Okay.
So if people only sleep 3, 4, 5 hours a night, they won't necessarily get that long stage of REM sleep at the end, which is actually the most refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just quite. I thought it was quite interesting that, you know, people just think they go to sleep and they wake up, but there's a lot that happens to the body while you're asleep.
Yeah.
And the last point is electronic devices. You know, we live in this culture of TVs and computers and tablets and phones, and we take them to bed, and we're tweeting and we're Facebooking and we're doing whatever late at night, and we've got all that blue light.
Yeah.
It's going into our eyes and obviously affecting our hormone levels.
Yeah, of course.
Our blue light suppresses melatonin, which is a sleep hormone.
Yep.
But we live in this culture where, you know, we are so used to using these devices late at night. And one of the recommendations I make to my clients is to turn off your devices about an hour, hour and a half before you go to bed.
Yeah.
To give your body a chance for the melatonin to kick in.
Yeah.
So that you do get a decent night's sleep.
I think it's a case as well. I would encourage people to actually have their phones downstairs at night time as well. Actually charge them up just next to like your cabinet.
Yep.
Just before you're going out, because unless you're aware of like a baby being born or needing to have your phone immediately next to you at mm-hmm. nighttime, there's really no reason for it. And we're almost addicted to this digital culture now where we have to be in connection 100% of the time. And I'm bad for this because I keep in contact with my clients anytime from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So my wife will argue that I'm never away from my phone, but I realize it is damaging and that you should be completely away from any phone and tablet, you know, even I would even argue TV as well
mm-hmm.
For the last hour and a half.
Yep.
It's not practical in today's digital culture, but it's definitely something to do. I'm going to commit to actually leaving my phone downstairs and going back to an old analog digital radio from next week. So scary. Excellent. Times, yeah.
I think it's very hard to do as well. I think if you were to challenge people to do that, most people would see the benefit of doing that.
Yeah, I think so.
Some people would commit to doing that.
Yeah.
And I think most people would break that commitment quite quickly.
I think
it's like a limb, isn't it? Not having your phone. I mean, last week I left the house. I went to a networking meeting and I left my phone at home. And I was without my phone for 4 whole hours.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was missing a limb. It was, you know, that fear of not being able to be in contact with people. It's absolute madness.
And that's also stress as well. So you've got stress and anxiety of not being connected. And I suppose in the last 6 to 8 years, we've been, you know, afforded the luxury of having smartphones and being connected to every social media platform possible. And, you know, and now we miss it. It's it does cause stress if I'm not immediately away from my phone. How many times have we rubbed our pockets and go, where's my phone?
Yeah.
And it's in another pocket. And it's no more than a meter away from me. Yeah. And it causes an immediate anxiety that you don't have it.
Yeah, I see. I remember the days before mobile phones, and they were a lot simpler back then, shall we say.
They didn't. I think my first one didn't even have an alarm on it.
No. Button 0 to 9 and a red button and a green button.
That was it.
And all we used it for was making phone calls.
Yeah, and playing Snake.
Yeah, and the battery would last about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And most of the time you'd have it turned off because there was no one to phone you anyway because other people didn't have mobile phones.
If you kept it on, you'd last 10 days.
Yeah.
And you would never, if you'd left it somewhere, you know that you could phone it and it would be there. But never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we've progressed as a human being.
So so keep your mobile phones downstairs, turned off, charged up downstairs, and you'll probably get a better night's sleep. I'm going to cover some other ways to improve your sleep next week. I had half a dozen other ideas as well, but time doesn't permit us to go into them now in detail. So tune in next Monday and I will give you ways and some tips and advice that you can improve your sleep. And thank you for your comments, Chris.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Brilliant.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
So, before we go into our interview with Chris, time for our next song. The time is now 11:26. I've just taken an hour off your life. It's 11:26. We have a classic here from one of the greats from the American song music era, Tom Petty, who we sadly lost recently, and one of his best, I think. It's American Girl. Enjoy.
Thank you.
was Tom Petty and American Girl, a classic. Okay, welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special special guest, Chris Dole.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Chris.
Again.
feel free to tweet in. The Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. So tweet in, say hi, say hello, if you'd like a shout out or if you have a question to ask. Okay, so for the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a detailed chat to Chris and find out a bit more about what he does. So, formally, hello, Chris.
Hi, Neil.
Chris and I haven't met before. We met via social media. That sounds really dodgy, but we met by social media a few weeks ago, and we got chatting, and I thought the synergy with what Chris does with what I do is actually quite interesting.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So I thought it'd be good to get him on the show to explain a bit more about what he does and also a bit more about personal training, what personal training is, because I'm sure you'll think you know what personal training is, but there might be some areas of personal training that makes you think about it a bit more. Mm. And perhaps you might want to consider having a chat to Chris about what he does on a one-to-one basis. So, Chris, let's start off with the basics. What is your background?
So my background is actually predominantly office work. So when I got out of school, I fell into an office, mm-hmm. into financial institutions, insurance and reinsurance, project-based work. I had some really high-profile clients, dealt with millions and millions of pounds, and I quickly got bored of that. I was always really kind of a big gym goer, so I'd be in the gym 4 or 5 nights a week, mm-hmm. and it hit me because I went to Body Power, which is like the absolute mecca of fitness industry presentations. It's a massive thing at the Birmingham NEC, and I was absolutely inspired by this, and I went back and I thought to myself, do you know what? Of all of the things that I know and love that I do, I really enjoy my hobby of fitness and training. So I believed I believed in myself enough to actually start doing the courses and mm-hmm. Start moving on from there. So I picked up gym level 2 personal training, and I was at that point I was addicted. I think I have done 13 or 14 now qualifications of different variations, including nutrition. And over the last 3 years, 3.5 years, I've been operating. I've influenced many people's lives to make active benefits in their lifestyles. And, you know, I've seen some amazing results. And I've really enjoyed it. So actually more office-based, but project-based. And if you've actually got a bit of project background as well, and you know stages of how people, you know, lose weight, then it's good to actually have that, mm-hmm. Not only for the administration side of things, but it also gives you... It gives people a little bit of forefront as to where they're going. So I don't see the office experience as a bad thing. It was certainly time served, I believe, though.
But you're pleased that you made that change?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a real big change. So whilst I was progressing, I was working in an office, but I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, training a couple of clients, going to work, hour commute. And I'd come back and I would then do 2 or 3 hours in the gym straight afterwards after I've done the hour commute back, and then go home, eat, see my wife, fall asleep, and then do it all over again. So I was really addicted to helping people over the period of this time. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I've been more passionate about it the more I've done it.
Yeah, fantastic. I think that passion really shows through, and you can tell people that are passionate about what they do.
Yes. Yeah.
And people buy from people that are passionate about what they do. So
yeah, absolutely. And no question is too big or too small. You know, quite frequently if I get asked a question, I'll fall down the rabbit hole. If they ask me a really interesting question that I've got very little information on, and what I'll do is I'll go back home and I'll start researching into that specific area or problem or that particular question, and I've wasted 3 hours of my time like falling down the rabbit hole and then finding other articles and other articles, and then mm-hmm. it's good for when I meet up with other fitness professionals and say, oh, did you read that article and things like that. So
fantastic.
Yeah,
good stuff. So in what ways do you help people in what you now do?
So the whole point of being a personal trainer is not so much about the training, it's the personal element. Obviously you need to know how to train people, and that's key, that's fundamental, but the personal element of it is something that I strive to make sure that I get 100% right. Because if you're not, if you're just doing a training and you're just doing a diet, then you're only doing about a third of your job. The real bit that I do is I keep up with my clients every day on WhatsApp and on Facebook and keep communicating with them, because I only have my clients with me for about a couple of hours a week, maybe one, maybe three, maybe four, depending on the level of help that they need. But I'm always in contact with them as a group or individually, just to make sure that their mindset is in the right place. Mm-hmm. Trying to get the people in the right mindset for them is absolutely crucial, because, you know, if they're not in the right mindset, the biscuits will come out to play, the chocolate will come out to play, the you know, any snacks will come out to play, and people will make unconscious decisions.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was reading in an article was that you make a shocking 200 decisions on food a day, and 20 of them are conscious, but 200 decisions on food a day. Now, I can actually believe that, because if we go into the kitchen, you know, we've got biscuits hanging around, we've got sweets, we've got snacks, particularly with young kids as well. There's always grapes and high fructose sugars around. So we've got them all around.
Lots of processed food.
Lots of processed food. Mm-hmm. And we don't want, you know, we don't want to be tempted by those things. So it's trying to make sure that this is my meal time, this is what I'm going to eat, having that regimented thing. Some people don't also need that level of restriction as to following a strict guideline as this is what I need to do. Sometimes I can just give people a calorie target to hit and say, these are what you need to hit. This is your protein, this is your carbs, this is your fats. And it sounds really complicated, but once you've had a bit of time with me, you understand how to track what you're eating, it becomes almost second nature. So yeah, it's all about really educating and really understanding and knowing your body.
Fantastic. Mm. So what successes have you had with clients? Perhaps, well, you can give us one success.
One
story.
Success. So, right. So, well, over the 3.5 years, I've calculated that I've helped people lose 150 kilos since I started. That's about 24 stone-ish, wow, around that mark. So that's a lot of weight.
That wasn't one person.
It wasn't one person. No. This is an amalgamation. I think I've trained about 60 people.
Fantastic.
But a lot of them have, a lot of them have been losing 2 or 3 stone. But you know, I've helped people lose 82 pounds, which is nearly 6 stone, mm-hmm, which is my best loss.
Yeah.
Which is life changing. Now, I took one person who is a teacher in Folkestone, a really close friend of mine, and she went from a little bit over 15 stone to around about 9.5 stone.
Wow.
Now, that was a real big story, and I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs because it was really quite an emotional story for her. But she went from losing some weight for her wedding all the way through to being a powerlifter. And that's actually quite a big story because, you know, she was 100 and something kilos when she started with me. She went down to 60 kilo and she won medals in her class. And she went on to go and do that 2 or 3 times afterwards. And she went on to the European classifications and she got a medal there. So I'm really, really proud of her. I've helped coach bikini models as well, which is, you know, a really difficult job.
But someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it,
You took one for the team.
I took one for the team there. Fantastic. But yeah, it's multiple disciplines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you. Okay, so tell me about your packages that you offer as a trainer.
So I tend not to offer one-off one-on-ones. I will do it if people want to do it, but what I want is people to be really committed. So I do monthly memberships.
Okay.
So on top of their gym membership, I will do 1, 2, or 3 sessions a week, or 4 or even 5 if people actually feel that they need that level of commitment, mm-hmm, that they know that they're going to be pushed hard in the gym. Most people sit around 2 sessions a week, which is the most beneficial for them because I get to see them twice. And it gives that level of commitment between them and myself to make sure that they're hitting their goals. So, mm-hmm, if you're hitting the gym with me twice, then you've got 2 other times that you can go and do your other workouts, whether that be your cardio or more weight training or doing yoga or Pilates or anything, any other discipline. As long as you're being active, and being conscious of being active as well. It's so easy to just rest on your laurels and say, do you know what? I don't want to go to the gym today. And particularly with the clocks changing back as well. And if I wasn't going to the gym, the first thing I'm going to do is take off my gym stuff, get changed into my pajamas, and sit on watching TV. And yes, I do have pajamas.
Is it a onesie?
It's not a onesie, no. No, it's certainly not a onesie. And relax in front of the TV. But that's, you know, this is actually the real prime time to actually get in shape for summer.
Yeah.
People really don't believe that it is. And people are closing the curtains, putting the heating on, and putting X TV show on. I'm watching it for 4 or 5 hours, and it's a waste of time because you can actually spend an hour, hour and a half in the gym with somebody, and then you could actually be making a real positive change for yourself next year. And that's really important because you really should be thinking about your 2018 goals now and preparing for it or starting it now. It's Monday. The diet starts today, right?
Exactly. And, you know, people panic and they want to lose their weight in sort of 2 or 3 months. And some people do, but losing weight quickly is not always safe.
Sustainable.
And if you lose it quick, you'll probably put it on quick again.
Yeah, sustainable. It's sustainable. You've got to, you know, if a client comes to me and says they want to lose, say, 2 or 3 stone, and they say, how long will it take? And I went, I can't answer that question. Mm. It entirely depends on your mindset.
It's individual, isn't it? Yeah.
You get some of those militant clients that come in and say, this is what I'm going to eat and this is how I'm going to do it. And they just go and do it. And it requires very little attention on my side.
Yeah.
And then you get those other people that you need to handhold through the entire situation. So it's, for me, it's identifying those people to make sure I'm getting the right amount of interaction with them.
Okay, excellent. So what are your plans for 2018?
So I am trying to buy a gym at the moment in Folkestone. So I've just put a business plan together for that. Exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm also planning on going out to Spain twice next year. I have a good friend of mine that has a retreat in Spain, in Saron. And I want to get some clients out there for that. And and run a couple of marketing retreats for fitness professionals because I truly believe that, you know, with the skills I have, I can help other fitness professionals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running a couple of those events and then going out. It's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of air miles. So, but it's beautiful. It's so remote. It's in the mountains and it's absolutely stunning. I can actually think out there.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it really is.
Fantastic.
Nice and warm.
Exciting 12 months ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
So who's your ideal client?
So really, anybody that is somebody to, that is absolutely committed on making a sustainable change in their lifestyles, what that really means is a lot deeper than what you think. It's lifestyle is how you are going to live your life. Now, I don't tend to hit my clients with every single change and it'd be like, right, forget the sheet of paper you've got in front of you as your life and I'm going to give you a brand new start. It's a case of making 1 or 2 or 3 changes in the first short term, the first month, and then gradually increasing those changes. And then it attempts to be a lifestyle change and getting people to remember when I told you about this, remember when I told you about that, and then reinvigorating them to remind them to hit all of those things that I've told them. It happens really naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I can tackle pretty much anything. I do have exercise referral as one of my qualifications, so I can help people out that have complicated medical conditions or what they perceive are medical conditions that they think are complicated. And I can also help people out with their dietary responses as to if they do have those medical conditions as well. So I think people should really feel inclusive. I mean, people that say, oh, I've got type 2 diabetes, I can't train, I've got to be careful. Actually, that's a lot of nonsense. Actually, training can help with all of those causes and symptoms of that in some cases. Obviously, seek medical professional advice.
Of course.
You know, it will help. If you do nothing, nothing will change. If you do something, the likelihood is that something will change more positively for you.
Wise words.
Absolutely. So really, I can help anybody. And just to be clear, if somebody I can't help, there's always somebody I know that can help.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. What would be the first step? If someone is listening to the your interview
mm-hmm.
and they're interested in having a chat with you, What's the first step? How can they get in contact with you? What's your website address? What's your social media details?
Cool. So if you have a look for Christol PT on Facebook, and that's D-O-E-L, a lot of my friends will laugh at me when I say that, but people do spell my surname incredibly wrong all the time. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. Just ask for me and Christol, or my website is www.christolpt.co.uk. If you want to email me, just it's chris@christolpt.co.uk. Just leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Super. Fantastic. Thank you, Chris.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And we will have a quick ad, and we'll have one more song before we go into the last part of the show.
Thank you.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
So, last song of the day. It's a classic from the 60s. It's Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett. Enjoy. What a fantastic song. That was Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett, a song that I haven't heard for a long, long time. Okay, so we're coming into the last 10 minutes of the show. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest, Chris Dole.
Hi.
That's D-O-E-L. Just to emphasise that point.
That's kind of the... you know, whenever anybody phones me up, or you know, it's common for people to say, "Is this Mr. Duel?" or they mispronounce it. Never mind.
So, if you want to tweet the show, the Twitter page is at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Or if you prefer Facebook, you can go onto Facebook, search Health Radio Show, like the page and be kept up to date with all the comings and goings of future shows. So, before we wrap up at 12 o'clock, I just want to go over health in the workplace. Now, last week we discussed 16 ways to improve health in the workplace. Now, as you probably appreciate, if you employ people, health in the workplace is the thing of the moment. Now, that's not to say that it's a passing phase, because I do actually believe now that health in the workplace is going to be a long-term project for a lot of companies who now realise that investing in the health of their staff is actually an investment. It's not a cost, because if you improve the health of your staff, you can reduce your costs in terms of things like staff turnover and recruitment, but also to improve their productivity as well. Yep. So, you know, if you've got healthy staff, they tend to be happy staff. Happy staff tend to enjoy coming into work. Yep. So you get less sickness time, less downtime, less sickness.
Less cost, yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So for those of you out there that do employ staff and want to look into an employee wellbeing program, I do offer a free audit. If you go to my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, then contact me through my website and we'll have a chat. But for those of you that perhaps employ fewer people, or perhaps an employee wellbeing program is outside the restraints of your budget at the moment, here's a few more tips that I'd like to give you that might help you to employ the health of your staff without the cost of bringing in a third party, and in turn will make them happier and healthier as well. So we're going to discuss exercise for the next couple of minutes. So here we go. So encouraging exercise is a great way to encourage better employee health. And actually, it needn't be expensive. There's lots of things you can put in place.
Not at all, no.
That are very cheap, but very cost effective as well. Mm. So here we go. So provide wearable trackers. So things like Fitbits or Jawbones, and there's a few different brands out there, used to be quite expensive.
Yep.
But they've come down a lot in price over the last couple of years as there's been more competition.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you can even get apps for your phone now that you don't even need to spend on it. One thing that we've done in previous employment is actually got everybody together on Map My Walk, which is a free app which you can actually add friends to. Links into MyFitnessPal, and you can actually set up like competitions about how many steps you've done.
Yep.
It also has Map My Run, and it all connects through, as I say, MyFitnessPal. So you can do the calorie tracking as well.
Yeah.
And you can actually work out how many calories you've got. So find a buddy in the office, get competing, and don't be shy. We're sharing your details.
Encouraging walking meetings. Now, this is actually gaining more momentum as health in the workplace is becoming more important. But rather than sitting, and yeah, obviously pick the right day and the right weather, but rather than sitting in a boardroom, having a meeting, or in an office, actually, you know, get in the car or walk around the block and have a meeting on the go.
Yeah.
Quite a new concept, and one that some people struggle to get their head around, but, you know, you get lots of fresh air as well, which can encourage creativity and productivity as well. Mm. Or drive to the local park and walk around the park and have a meeting in the park.
Yeah. I mean, when I used to go out with my direct line manager a couple of times a week, and we would have a conversation, and sometimes we'd come up with the best ideas on a quick 30-minute walk around the block. We used to work in the in King's Hill, which is a bunch of offices there that are just purely lovely office buildings. And you could find like a 20-minute walk or a 30-minute walk. Just walking to the supermarket and back was 20 minutes. Yep. And that was nice just to get around. We've actually come up with our best ideas in previous employments just by, you know, sometimes admittedly on a Friday afternoon walking to the pub and back. You know,
walking's good for you. Walking's good.
Yes.
enter employees into fun runs and charity events. Installing bike racks. If you want to encourage your staff to ride into work, then put bike racks in the staff car park. If you've got a lift in your office, if you're, you know, you have two or three or four or more floors, then encourage your staff to take the stairs rather than take the lift.
Absolutely.
And actually, stair climbing is remarkably easy but remarkably good exercise. Perhaps buy your employees a gym membership or encourage them to employ a personal trainer, maybe?
Maybe, indeed, yes.
You never know.
There's loads of budget gyms that you can actually make deals with in Kent, so don't be afraid to ask me about any gyms in Folkestone and surrounding areas, and if you're a fairly substantial employer, we can set up a discount for you and your staff so that you've got that.
Excellent. Employ a yoga instructor or fitness coach to come in and run sessions in your workplace. And finally, install a shower. So if you're going to encourage people to walk into work, to run into work, or to ride into work, you don't really want them sitting there hot and sweaty all day, do you?
Yeah, smelling, no.
And actually, you could employ a shower in your workplace, perhaps in a spare cupboard or whatever. And that would then encourage your staff to perhaps take exercise on their way to work by walking or running or riding into work.
Just one more thing about riding into work. I believe that there is a business-backed government scheme where you can actually get tax relief off of employing, getting the cycle to work scheme. I'm not an expert at it. I'm certainly not a tax advisor, but if you actually go online and actually have a look at that, that might be a benefit for you and your staff.
Fantastic. Right, okay. The time is now 11:56. We're wrapping up in the next minute or two. Just a quick reminder that you can listen again. If you go to channelradio.co.uk, click on the presenters page and you can click on me and you can download and listen to this show again, and you can listen to the two previous shows as well. Or you can go to my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk, click on the media page and you can listen there. Chris, would you like to just remind listeners of how they can contact you?
Certainly. So if you go onto Facebook and look out for Chris Doel PT, that's D-O-E-L PT. My email address is chris@chrisdoelpt.co.uk, and my website is chrisdoelpt.co.uk. I'm not on my own. I do have a team of personal trainers and sports massage therapists. So if you prefer a female coach, I've got female coaches as well, so I do build up a good team. So hopefully you get in contact and we'll have a conversation. But don't think that personal training is just for the elite. It is for genuinely, you know, good people, and you do need advice.
Fantastic, excellent. My website is i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like a workplace audit, then please drop me a line. If you have any questions about health or nutrition, then please drop me a line as well. The next show is Monday, the 6th of November from 11 o'clock. So it'd be great to have you listening along with us next Monday. Tweet in and remember to follow the Twitter page at Health Radio Show, or you can find me on Facebook, Health Radio Show. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. It's been great to have you along, Chris.
Thank you, Neil.
And I'm sure people have learned a lot about personal training.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up now, but I look forward to joining you and me and my guest next Monday at 11 o'clock. Until then, have a great week, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, guys. The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away. You're on the road, but you got no destination. In the maze of her imagination, your love is done.